Rupert and Connie. Uh-oh. It's either going to be, I don't know what's going to happen down there today. That's all I got to say. Oh, Rupert's wired today. Uh-oh. Maybe the kids should stay up here. So today we're going to start a new series, but it's not. We're not going to stay in this series for more than one week, and then we'll go on to James after that, and I'll explain why in a minute. But this series is looking at our statements of faith that if you're a member, you would have read them and agreed to them to become a member. If you were looking for a church, maybe you found them on our website to see if you agreed with them. They're important because they are our guiding document. They're based in Scripture, they're rooted in Scripture, and in our faith statement, you can actually see that it says they're the core of our identity. So they are important for all that we do. And honestly, they kind of run in the background of everything that we do. Yesterday, we got to go to Ray's very first dance recital. It was at the Bell Center, and it was a slick operation. Those kids were on doing their dance and off so fast, and all the things were ticking along, but that only happened because of all the things that were ticking along in the background that no one sees. There's all the different people from tech doing sound and lighting, costumes, hair, makeup, props, stage crew, choreography, all, and not to mention all the years-long practice that went into Ray's, but also the older kids who have been doing this since they were Ray's age and are now almost grown-ups doing this. And in general, when this is all ticking along, you don't notice any of those background things unless something goes wrong. And something did go wrong. The song started and stopped, and we all noticed. We all noticed that someone made a mistake. The only other time that we notice is when they shine a light on those people who are behind the scenes. Well, it's kind of the same thing with our faith statement, or with any faith statement. These beliefs that sometimes are floating in the background of the things that we talk about, they need to have a light shone on them sometimes so that we can talk about them, especially because we notice when we go off the rails. That's when we start to notice that things have gone wrong. So returning to it every once in a while is certainly a good thing. So how we're going to do this over the next rest of this year is we're going to take maybe one, maybe if I'm brave, up to three at a time to look at these, each statement, there's eight of them, and talk about them. And the reason why we're going to do this this way is because it can be a little overwhelming. For example, this week I could probably pull from close to 1,000 different scriptures to talk about it. It can get a little overwhelming, not just for you, but for me as well. I know one of my professors at Pacific Life Bible College said he does not like doing topical sermons because they take so much longer and they're so much harder to put together. And if you've noticed, I like sticking to one passage and doing that passage, and that's it. And so it's just pushing me out of my comfort zone a little bit, too. And I don't want to be pushed too far out for too long. Oh, I don't have my clicker. That's going to be hard to click to the next slide. The hand doesn't work. Thank you. And I'll just share briefly what our framework will be for this series every time we come to it. Every time we'll come to it, we'll review this statement first. The Canadian Baptists of Western Canada accept wholeheartedly the revelation of God given in the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments and confess the faith therein set forth. We here explicitly assert the doctrines which we regard as crucial to the understanding and proclamation of the gospel and a practical Christian living. Essentially, Every time we come to this, we're going to look at the statement and look at what Scripture says about it to see why it's important for our understanding of the gospel, not just for ourselves, but for also sharing it with others, and how it impacts our lives day to day as Christians. So statement one, we believe in the sovereignty, love, and grace of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in creation, providence, revelation, redemption, and final judgment. This morning, Jason asked me if my brain was on fire after having to look at that statement and figure it out. Full, but not on fire. So, as we look at this, I can say right off the bat before we dive into Scripture, when we talk about sovereignty, we're talking about God's authority. God is in charge. And we're going to look at it at this through the lens of who God is, who He reveals Himself to be, which is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we're going to look at the involvement of each of those persons of God in creation, providence, revelation, redemption, and final judgment. And hopefully, we won't be confused by the end of it. I don't think you will be. So let's look, first of all, at what Scripture says. The Scriptures that I gave you, if you read the What's Happening and then read the Scriptures that I gave you, they're ones that kind of give a quick summary statement of who God is. And so the first one is Matthew 3:16-17, which is Jesus' baptism. As soon as Jesus was baptized, He went up out of the water. Suddenly the heavens were opened, and He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and resting on Him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Right there we have the Son, Jesus. We have the Holy Spirit descending like a dove, and we have the Father speaking from heaven. We have a picture of all three persons of God together. And in this, we also get an understanding of the gospel, of what Jesus did. That one, it is done with the pleasure of God, of the Father. Is done out of the will of the Father, that the mission that Christ went on to redeem humanity, the mission that He went on to reveal God to us more fully, involves Father, Son, and Spirit. The will of the Father through the power of the Spirit. And then, oh, okay, so I didn't fix the top of that slide. That should say Matthew 28:18-19. Then Jesus came to them and said, after his resurrection, "All authority in heaven and on earth," all authority in heaven and on earth, there's that sovereignty, "has been given to Me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Baptism, part of baptism involves proclamation, sharing who God is. And so part of proclaiming the gospel involves proclaiming who God is as Father, Son, and Spirit. The next part of this passage says, "Teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you." Teaching people about these things. So these are just summary statements so far. And the last one, which kind of encompasses a summary of the Christian life, is really similar to a benediction that I commonly do, which is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. That through the Holy Spirit, the love of God and the grace of Christ goes with us each and every day wherever we go, equipping and empowering us because He is sovereign. Father, Son, and Spirit present in our lives through the indwelling of the Spirit. So the next part, I just want to briefly explain how we arrive at this conclusion very briefly about Father, Son, and Spirit. We read in Deuteronomy 6, verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." So we believe God is one. And we get into what that word in Hebrew means. It can be taken as a plural noun, meaning more like team, which implies a plurality of persons. But we believe that God is one. But then when we get to John chapter 1, and verse 1 and verse 14, we read this. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." The Word is Jesus, the Son. "The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace, full of truth." So we get a picture that Jesus, the Son, is also God. We understand that. And then there could be other passages, but the most clear one that tells us that the Spirit is also God is kind of in a weird passage, but it's the passage with Ananias and Sapphira as they have lied about the money that they gave to the church. Peter says to them, "Ananias, how is it that Satan has filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit?" In that little ellipses there, he just goes on to say, "You could have done this differently, but you have not lied to men, you have not lied to Peter, you have not lied to me, but you've lied to God," saying that the Holy Spirit is God. So all are God. We have one God revealed to us in three persons, and they are active and involved in creation, providence, redemption, revelation, final judgment, and active and involved in our lives as followers of Christ. So let's start and look at how are they involved in providence and creation. How are they involved in providence and creation? Genesis 1, verses 1 and 2, we read, "In the beginning, God created." There again, the authority of God. He didn't create by accident. He created because He wanted to. He created by His authority, the heavens and the earth. "Now the earth was formless and void, and the darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters." Now we have here something that doesn't come at clear until we get to the New Testament, but we have God using His Word, speaking. We don't have it here, it's the next part. He says, "Let there be light." He speaks, and creation is made through the power of the Spirit, the will of the Father speaking through the Son, as we learn later, by the power of the Spirit. So we read in John chapter 1 again, "Of the Son, He was with God in the beginning, and through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made." So speaking of the Son, it is through Him, the Word, that everything in all of creation, everything we can see, everything we can't see, was created. So we have Father, Son, and Spirit involved in the creative process. From the very beginning of our existence as creatures, Father, Son, and Spirit were involved in the creative process, but they continue to be involved in providence over creation. We read of the Son in Colossians 1:17, "He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together." The continued work of providing for creation through Christ. The continuing work that the very fabric of existence is being held together right now by Christ. That we continue to exist by His will and pleasure. But it's not just about provision in terms of keeping existence going. God provides for his people through the Spirit. And we read that in John 14. John 14, verses 16 and 17. Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he says, he will ask the Father, and he will give you, us, another advocate to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. He will give us an advocate to be with us forever. He has given us his Spirit. The world cannot receive him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you do know him, for he abides with you and will be in you. The promise is that God will provide his Spirit to be with us. And we can go beyond this and say that because the Spirit is in us, we are actually equipped to live lives that are honoring to God. We have the ability, we are given that ability, not through our own abilities, but through the Spirit dwelling within us. We are given the ability to ask God for the things that we need because the Spirit is in us today. God did not just create and leave us to our own devices. He's not an absentee father. He continues to provide for us. The Father provides for us through the Son by the Spirit. So we see here that as we say, we believe in God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, their sovereignty, love, and grace in creation and providence. We see them, their sovereignty, love, and grace in creation and providence. But we also see it in Revelation. Not the book of Revelation, although we could look at the book of Revelation, but not today. Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2. On many past occasions and in many different ways, God the Father spoke to our fathers through the prophets. So we have the Old Testament. He spoke through the prophets, through the Old Testament. That Scripture is the revelation of God. But in these last days, he has spoken to us through his Son. So God spoke through prophets in the Old Testament, and then he spoke through Christ in the New Testament. The full revelation of God. In fact, the revelation that all of Scripture points towards is Christ. So even though the Father spoke through prophets in the Old Testament, those prophets were pointing us towards what was going to be the full picture of the revelation of God, which is seen in the Son, the revelation of the Son, the Word made flesh, God among us. And we have again just in John chapter 1 that no one has ever seen God but the one and only Son, who is himself God, again reiterating that, and is at the Father's side. He has made him known. The Son reveals the Father, reveals who he is and how we can know him, ultimately through faith in the Son, faith in Christ, trust in his sacrifice. But we'll get to that in a second. And then finally, the Spirit also reveals God to us. In John 16, as Jesus is again promising the coming of the Holy Spirit, he says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own, but he will speak what he hears. And he will declare to you what is to come. He will glorify me by taking from what is mine and disclosing it to you. And then here we get again, everything that belongs to the Father is the Son's. That is why he said, that is why Jesus says, that's why I said to you, the Spirit will take from what is mine and disclose it to you. The Spirit guides us into all the truth. because he receives from the Son and the Father to teach us. The Spirit illuminates Scripture to us so that we can understand it. The Spirit equips us so that we don't just read Scripture and understand it, but that so that we can live it out. The Spirit enables us, equips us, empowers us, not just to know the truth, but to live in the truth. Because he points us to the Father and the Son. He points us to the truth of what Christ has done in redemption. And this one, we're not going to jump around so much. We're just going to stay in Ephesians chapter 1, which is more helpful for me. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, we're told, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms." The Father has blessed us in Christ. Not apart from Christ, but in Christ. And the way he has blessed us, we read a little bit further down in verse 7 and also in verse 9, in him we have redemption through his blood. Because Christ took on flesh. Because the Son entered into humanity. Because the Son lived a life of perfect obedience to the Father. Because the Son willingly went to the cross and stood in our place, we have redemption through his sacrifice. The forgiveness that we receive from the Father is through Christ. Forgiveness for our trespasses, for our sins, for our wrongdoings, our moral failures, according to the riches of his grace. Not only that, but he has made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ. He's made known to us how we can be forgiven. He's made known to us how we can know him. The forgiveness that is offered by grace through faith in Christ, the Son of God. We read later on in Ephesians, which I don't have on the screen here, that we are saved by grace through faith and not by works, so that no one may boast. The faith that we place our faith in is faith in Christ, his sacrifice, not our own works. And we receive that because the Son, as we read in our Philippians series, did not count equality with God something to be grasped, but poured himself out, being obedient, taking the form of a servant, obedient even unto death. It's Christ's obedience, Christ's faithfulness is the reason why we get forgiveness from the Father through the Son. But we don't just get that. We're also promised and given when we believe in him, having heard and believed the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, forgiveness for sins in Christ Jesus. You were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the pledge of our inheritance. We receive the Spirit when we believe, but we also read that the Spirit convicts the world of sin. We know that the Spirit reveals Christ to us, but he continues to guide us and equip us today. That redemption, the gospel message, is forgiveness of sins from the Father through the sacrifice of Christ by the power of the Spirit. And then we get final judgment. And don't worry, I only have two scriptures for final judgment. I could have more. In 1 Corinthians 15, we read, "The end will come when he, Christ, the Son, hands over the kingdom to God the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, all authority, and power." That the final judgment will come. Christ will put an end to all of his enemies. That he will say, Christ will say, the Son will say to some, "Away from me, I never knew you," as we read in Matthew. But we also know, and I don't have this up here, but we do have Christ at the right hand of the Father advocating for those who know him, who have placed their faith in him, who are in him, so that when we stand before the judgment, Christ will say, "Well done, good and faithful servant," for those who have placed their faith in Christ. But Christ, he is going to stand in judgment over the world. We read in Philippians, in our Philippians series, that he will put all of his enemies under his feet, and that at every knee will bow in creation, above and below and on the earth, will bow to Jesus, that he will stand over all creation. We also know that the Spirit will convict the world regard to sin and righteousness and judgment, that the Spirit will also be involved in judgment. The Father, Son, and Spirit all judge sin, all judge the world. They're not separate from it. And the reason why we don't have to get into great detail on every single one of these topics today is because they come up again in the faith statement. If you read ahead, if you find our faith statement on our website or ask for a copy, I can give one to you. You'll see that these topics all come up again in greater detail. But for now, what we wanted to see is that God, Father, Son, and Spirit, is sovereign in his grace and love from the start of creation to the very end, in how he reveals himself and how he provides for his creation and his people, and how he redeems his people. And so that brings us to, how does this help us understand the gospel? Well, I hope at least from what we've seen so far, there's a bit of an understanding of how understanding the nature of God, who God is, and how he has revealed himself in Father, Son, and Spirit is part of the gospel message. But I like this quote in our understanding and proclaiming the gospel, what Matthew Barrett says. He says, when he came to faith, "The Holy Spirit opened my eyes to Jesus as the Son of God. And when I trusted him as my Savior, I knew that I had been forgiven by the Father." Here's the thing. We don't have to know every detail about how salvation works to have salvation. But that's how it works. The Holy Spirit opens our eyes to see who Jesus for who he truly is, not just a really wise teacher, but truly God. And when we realize that he is truly God, that's when we're able to place our faith and trust in him as our Savior, because we recognize what he did paid the price for our sin. And that's when we receive the forgiveness of the Father. That's when we are forgiven. So we receive the forgiveness of the Father through faith in Christ, faith in the Son, which is empowered and revealed to us by the Spirit. That's how the gospel comes to us. And as Sam, he says in his book, The Deep Things of God, that if you've come to faith in Christ, you've already experienced an encounter with the Trinity, whether you know it or not. So it is very relevant for our lives. This is where I say we have these things that play in the background like a performance. They play in the background of the things that are going on, and we might not realize them, but it is helpful to us to shine a light on them at times, so that we can see and understand a little bit more of who God is. And you might walk away today and not remember everything, but hopefully just a small snippet of what this teaches us about who God is and his amazing love and grace for us. Then we get to Christian living, the practice of Christian living. J.I. Packer says this of Scripture. He says that New Testament theology, which is nothing less than the Father's own witness through the Spirit to the Son. New Testament theology, so what we read in the New Testament is nothing less than the Father's own witness through the Spirit to the Son. The Father's revelation is about the Son. That's where we said all of Scripture points us towards Christ. Points us towards Christ. And it's illuminated by the Spirit. Anyone can pick up a Bible and read it. But the only way to truly see who Christ is through the eyes of the Spirit, the illumination of the Spirit. So that's what's at work in our lives. In the background, whether we realize it or not, when we are reading Scripture, it's not just that we're reading and understanding on our own. It's that the Father is revealing more of Christ to us, more of who He is, through the Spirit teaching us and speaking to us. It's not just our own intellect that we're getting smarter. In fact, we realize more and more that we know less than we thought we did. And we start to realize that I'm not mastering Scripture, but it is mastering me. It is changing me and conforming me to look more like Christ. So I would say that our life of faith is seeking to obey the Father through faith in the Son, empowered and equipped by the Spirit. And I say that because I say that, yes, we have a part to play, as we read in Philippians, but apart from faith in the Son, we can't obey the Father. The only way we can obey the Father is through faith in the Son, because the Son is perfectly obedient to the will of the Father. And the only way that we can have any hope of even coming close to Christ's likeness is because the Holy Spirit is empowering and equipping us day by day to be more Christ-like. I want to conclude by saying a word on prayer. Because prayer is one of the ways that we directly, Scripture and prayer are two of the ways that we directly experience the threeness of God. Because prayer is to the Father, through the Son, by the Spirit. I do have Ephesians chapter 2, 18 up here. For through Christ, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Through Christ, through His sacrifice, through His lordship, and through the indwelling of the Spirit, we have access to the Father. We can bring whatever issues, whatever problems, whatever concerns, whatever needs we have to Him and lay them at His feet. Through Him, we have access to the Father. Because God is three in one, we have a relationship with Him where we can bring whatever we want to Him and He will hear us. This is how Paul can write in Romans that the Spirit intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words, because the Spirit understands, because the Spirit is in us. And we have access to the Father through the Son, by the Spirit. Oh, the last verse did not make it into there. I will see if I can flip to it quickly. It's in John. I know where it is. I will say that what this all comes down to in terms of our lives as followers of Christ is that every aspect of our lives is influenced by Father, Son, and Spirit. Every aspect of our lives is influenced by it, whether we realize it or not. Whether we're aware of it or not, and do we need to be aware of it every moment of every day? No. But it's going on in the background. And what we read in John 15, as Jesus says this to us, he says, I am the vine and you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit. And here's the key. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are gathered up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, proving yourselves to be my disciples. In the very next chapter, he will tell us that the Spirit is the one who abides in us. That Christ is in us today because the Spirit abides in us. And we can bring whatever we want, whatever we need, to the Father. And he will listen. Because life in God is relational. Every other religion, God can't be as relational because God is not a relational being. But Christianity teaches, affirms, and believes. Oh, well, we have it up here right now, so let's just go to it. In the sovereignty, love, and grace of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in creation, providence, revelation, redemption, and final judgment. And we believe this to be crucial for understanding and proclaiming the gospel and practical Christian living. Would you bow with me in prayer? Lord Jesus, Heavenly Father, Holy Spirit, we thank you for your amazing grace, love, and sovereignty that you have acted in creation. You have acted in revelation, in providence, in redemption, and will act in final judgment. We thank you, Father, that you forgive us our sins through faith in Christ. Holy Spirit, that you reveal the truth to us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you sent, you asked for the Spirit to be sent to us, and you and the Father sent the Spirit to us. We thank you for the forgiveness that is in Christ. We thank you that we have access to the Father through the Son by the Spirit. We thank you that we are forgiven by the Father through the Son by the Spirit. I pray that even though these things might play in the backgrounds of our minds and our daily lives, we would still remember. We would still remember the truth of who you are, Lord. We would remember how we can access you, how we can know you, and therefore come to understand your truth and your gospel a little better. And therefore come to understand our lives in Christ a little better. May we seek to abide in you as you abide in us. For apart from you, we can do nothing. We thank you that you hear our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen.